Hi, I'm Matt Lee.
And I'm Vince Mancini.
And this is
Pod Yourself a Gun.
The mailbag episode.
Mail. It's not a female bag episode, that's for sure.
Hey, you know what I'm talking about. Vaginas.
I just meant because we're all dudes. It's like a Dudes Rock episode.
Hell yeah, Dudes Rock, and they read only male mailbags. This is the episode where Vince Mancini and I go through every single one of your emails and voicemails and talk about it. I thought you were going to join me on that
sorry,
one.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know where you were going to go with it because it's a different thing than we usually do.
Yeah, it is a different intro. That's true. I threw you a curveball, and for that, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Just reminding you, 5 stars in review, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, you know, this is the second time we've done this, and once again, we are having for our guest, you know him as the producer of Pod Yourself a Gun, and also as the host of the Reactivators podcast, ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, welcome Brent Flyberg.
Hello, it's me, the third male in the bag. Happy to be here. Excited
hell
to
yeah.
read some of these unhinged letters we've been sent.
I'm very excited.
You know, feedback has been tremendous. We love that
yes.
our work is having an effect on the world and, you know, just echoing through eternity.
People mm-hmm. seem to really enjoy The Sopranos.
Uh-huh.
And we're just glad to be riding that wave, you know? It took 20 years, but eventually people were like, what is this show about Italians eating Italian food and doing crimes? And then people discovered it, and they were like, oh, you know what would help this show? A companion podcast hosted by not the cast.
That's right.
You know?
No, two other guys talking Sopranos.
Look,
mm-hmm.
we need to catch some of the reflected glow of the Sopranos, and if you're actually on the Sopranos, you don't need that. Just go glow somewhere else, you know what I mean? Like, you already
honestly,
got it.
Live your life at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just yeah. weird that you keep talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not for us.
No, we need this.
It's not weird. This is the result. This is like the result of modern capitalism is even the people like if a show as popular as The Sopranos had existed like 30 years ago, they would be rich enough that they would truly not need to do this. But I
right.
feel like every celebrity now is either doing a podcast about the thing they're known for or selling tequila, because even they're like, I have to feed all of these kids I made.
Yeah.
No,
I need to put gabagool in these kids' mouths. I always wonder, is it like capitalism or is it just shame? Because like it used to be, you know, it used to be television was considered lower than being in movies, and like movie stars wouldn't be in television because they were movie stars, and then like,
totally.
You know, and then neither of them would be in commercials because like being in commercials is like degrading, whereas like now
right
you know everybody's in commercials, everybody does everything, it doesn't matter,
and everyone's mm-hmm. doing a podcast and, mm-hmm. and that's like just part of it. I mean George Clooney isn't doing a podcast, but like, you know, Dax Shepard is
sure
and fucking
yeah.
Jason Bateman is like
do you
at this point, they're all doing podcasts, and it's just, you know, I do think that part of it is obviously like we now live in a time where you can continue to capitalize off of your fame when you're in between work, you know, and that's mm-hmm. that's totally fine and understandable. But it's just always it's funny to me that they're like, you know, hey, there's a chance to make a little bit of money reading Sherry's Berries ads.
Yeah. By the way, I actually really like Dax Shepard, and I kind of always have, but I always mm-hmm. feel like there's nothing that tempts fate more than doing a show that's based around like, isn't my relationship adorable and good and cute? And it's like,
yep.
bro, has this ever worked out for anyone? Like Howard Stern made an mm-hmm. entire movie about like his relationship with his wife, basically. Mm-hmm. And then got divorced like immediately after. It's like the Madden curse, basically. Anytime mm-hmm. that your relationship on a box cover, it's like, okay, well that's going to go away.
Yeah, I just read the Jessica Simpson memoir autobiography, and ooh. Yeah, it's the same thing where they were like, "Look at how cute we are," and the whole time they were spiraling out of control towards divorce, and then pretending to like, "Oh, I'm so kooky." Like,
wait, was that when was that written?
relatively recent. I want to say in the last like 2 years. So who, I'm not positive.
Who was the husband at that point?
Nick Lachey.
Okay.
So it's a memoir. So it's she's remarried in the memoir to someone else now, but it's a lot of it is about the Nick Lachey years.
You know, not to name drop, but I have met Nick Lachey and his new wife at a cooking event. Like I did a cooking event.
What?
Where,
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Did you say that to his face?
No, because he was like, I don't know. He was tagging along to like a cooking event where you just, you know, hang out and eat food. We actually
did you say to him, hey, what should I what degree should I set the oven at?
Yeah.
98 degrees. Uh-huh. And then he was like, no, that's not very hot.
It's gonna take forever.
His wife was the co-host of I want to say like Top Chef Junior. I think she used to be like Miss America or something, like something that involves like public speaking, because, you know, she's very...
Is it Vanessa Manillo or is this a different person?
Her name's Vanessa, yeah, Vanessa Lachey. Okay. She's very polished and, you know, obviously very like practiced at speaking and stuff. But I remember when she was taking cooking instruction, and she's hosting this cooking show. And like the chef told her to grab like the basil out of this pile of herbs, and she's like, which one is the basil? And I was like, she don't know which one the basil is. Come on. You can't fool me, Vanessa Lachey.
You call yourself an Italian. Is she Italian?
No, she's like Asian, I think. Or like part Asian. I can't remember.
Well, the Asians also like basil. Anyways.
That's true. Yeah, but they like that Thai basil, you know?
That's actually the best basil.
Yeah.
Anyways, but this
yeah
this
Manillo.
Is not,
I guess she is Italian. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a very Italian last name.
She's hold on. Her mom's Filipino. Her dad's Italian.
All right,
there you go.
Well, that's
now, there. You have it. You know,
there you have it.
I'm sure the Sopranos would come up with a very insulting take on that hybrid of races, but I won't.
I mean, Italian and Filipino, just two ethnic groups that seem weirdly comfortable with saying the N-word. it's just something I've noticed when I was in the Bay Area. I was like, man, these Filipino kids are just doing slurs. And then, of course, Italians known for doing.
You don't want to put two Catholic races together because like they inevitably have like 27 kids.
1,000 kids. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of beautiful in a way, though, that they're all connected by the fact that they believe in God, in like Jesus, in a weird way.
Mm.
I mean, it's the weirdest way to believe in Jesus, I think, is Catholicism.
What,
my Catholic ex-girlfriend explained Catholicism as being Christ. She said it's, of all the Christian religions, it's the least Christ-forward, which kind of blew my mind at the time because it's in so much of the imagery. But when you think about like the rituals and like the, I guess the dogma, maybe that's the word I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But like they don't, it's not the same as like Baptists or like evangelicals who are constantly talking about Jesus and how Jesus is like their best friend and they're like in his life or whatever. Catholicism is like... Yes, Jesus is on the marquee, but once you're in the building, it's like let's talk about something else.
If you want to pray, you got to speak to the Virgin Mary, who's like Jesus's publicist, is how I heard it explained.
Yeah.
Like he's got some saints, he's got some go-betweens that, you know, could maybe put in a good word with the big man.
So fuck ton of middle management it's an entire religion based on middle management. Is from what it seems
like. Sure. One of Dennis Leary's only good bits was that authority in the Catholic Church was based entirely on hat size.
That's a very good bit.
Like the bigger the hat, the more like, are you gonna go up to heaven and God's just gonna have like a giant sombrero on?
Then the other good bit was when he was like, why is the Q so big in the NyQuil bottle?
It's a good bit.
Is that Q so big?
But I think at the root of it, Catholicism is for people that understand that the rules of religion are like slightly malleable, whereas like all the Protestants are like, oh no, man, you got to follow all this shit literally to the letter of the law. And Catholicism's just like, you know, if you fuck up, you know, say a few of these, give us some money, you'll be all right, whatever.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you know, Judaism is just, hey, there's no heaven, there's no hell. Fucking do what you want. I'm pretty sure that's the those are the rules of Judaism. As far as I can tell, it's do whatever you want.
Don't worry about anything except whether the soup is hot or not.
Just worry about soup temperature. That is how my dad has lived his life.
Hot soup.
But this is not a Jesus Christ Catholicism Nick Lachey podcast. No, this is a Sopranos podcast, and we cannot start the mailbag episode without first playing the theme song. Pod. Podcast.
The mailbag episode.
All right, ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, let's get in to some of these emails. So I'm going to start first with our $8 donor, Brett Crawford. And I don't know.
Matt specifically organized these by amount of donation. So basically,
that's right.
We are like the Catholic Church of this pod, where you have to pay for indulgences around here.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if you got that tithe money, send it. All right. Mm-hmm. Because motherfuckers,
show us those tithes.
Eat. Yeah. Show me them tithes, bet. Stupid. All right. Brett Crawford. I don't remember what his nickname was. It was the Crawdad or something like that.
Yeah. We call him we call him Gumbo, the crawfish.
Very good. Mm-hmm. All right. Subject. Did HBO inadvertently kill James Gandolfini? All right. So a timeline. Sopranos ends June 2007. Jim does some B-plus movies. Steve Carell leaves The Office April 11th. April 2011, does some B-plus movies. NBC allegedly approaches Jim to join The Office, a working gig. HBO allegedly approaches Jim to grease his palms if he passes on The Office. This is to, quote, protect the legacy of The Sopranos, apparently. So Jim takes the free money because, A, he's not stupid, and, B, they promise to have him back on TV soon enough. Flush with $3 million cash, he flies straight to Italy, spends it all on spaghetti, and drowns his heart in a pool of gravy. Hey, HBO, James Gandolfini was a fucking actor. He could have played someone other than Tony Soprano on The Office. Maybe if he had had a job to do, he would have had the discipline to mix a salad or two into the meal plan. Also, why did you fire David Benioff and D.B. Weiss the second they suggested shortening the final two seasons of Game of Thrones? You blew it! Fuck HBO, I'm out. Right after all these shows and movies I want to see come out. Signed in feces, dirty, sloppy HBO pig.
That's such a weird thing to think that James Gandolfini being on The Office would somehow cheapen The Sopranos. It's weird to me that anybody... It actually makes me think more highly of HBO that they would care about the quote unquote legacy of a show that was already over. I don't know. I can't imagine anybody else doing that.
I mean,
I just want to know what subreddit Crawbaby got this information from. Like, where? I've never heard this before. Have y'all heard this before?
I just heard.
I just found the source of it.
Oh, this is like a known rumor.
It came, I'm assuming it came from the other Sopranos podcast that doesn't exist, but it's a screen article quoting Michael Imperioli and Steven Sherpa.
Okay.
Yeah, right, and it says
I think
NBC
before James Spader
him.
And after Steve Carell, they offered Jim, I want to say, $4 million to play him for the season, and HBO paid him $3 million not to do it. That's a fact.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it sounds like a fact, but then again, these guys have been lying about having a Sopranos podcast for a while.
Yeah,
so who knows what else they'd lie about?
I don't. Even if that is true, I don't buy the narrative that he. I think if James Gandolfini wanted to be on The Office and they offered it to him, he would have done it. So if HBO said don't do it for $3 million, of course he's going to take that money. But I don't believe there is a world in which he was like, wow, I really wanted to do that, but HBO doesn't want me to.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's like, no, he was
He was wishy-washy, and he was like, well, shit, you're going to pay me not to do it.
Yeah, fine. I think he saw it more as, like, a good way to, like, threaten them, you know, just be like, I don't know, you know, maybe something could happen. Maybe I could start doing funny jokes on NBC's The Office. And they were like, no, please. It was basically extortion.
But
I believe...
It would be a shame if something happened to your TV program's legacy. I go on a TV show, I eat up, I get hit in the face with a pie. Who's watching that show?
Yeah, exactly. This show doesn't have any legs anymore because I broke its fucking kneecaps. Oh! But also, you know, that is a thing that they do pay people to not do stuff. That's the whole thing with, like, Flo from the Progressive insurance commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she would be an Oscar winner by now if not for
She's, like, straight up paid to not do... They pay you enough money so that... Because you're the spokesman, you're the face of the company, and they don't want you, like, going and doing a movie where you're, like, titties you show or something.
I gotta say...
Be like a prostitute on the deuce or something.
Yeah.
If they paid me as much as, like, they pay someone to be, like, the, you know, the Progressive insurance or like Geico whatever, I don't know that I'd take it, because it's like it's the best job in the world, because you probably work less than 5 days a year and make millions of dollars for it, but you could like cure cancer and you'd still be the Progressive insurance lady. Like, you're never breaking out of that persona. It'd be like the worst prison just to go. Anytime you're going to the airport, you have all this free time, you have like 360 free days a year to just be on vacation, but the minute you step into an airport, you got like five dickheads parroting like caveman jokes at you. I don't know that it'd be worth it.
No, that does suck.
Maybe the Geico caveman would be the ideal one, because then you take the makeup off and they don't know it's you.
Oh yeah, in makeup that'd be the idea, but then you wouldn't get the big bucks, because like who cares if you're that guy? Like, people would be like, whatever.
That's why anyone can play Ronald McDonald. You know, it's just like you just paint their face and you make them look like Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, he's all of us. Okay, but I do agree with the spirit of this question, which is that actors do need like make work jobs to keep them busy. Like I've always said,
that's what podcasts are for.
That's right. But I've always said, like, we need another thing for Jared Leto to do.
Yes.
To just like keep him out of movies and from being like Adrian Grenier is back doing some sort of movie or something. Like, please do something. Give these guys something to do to occupy them, so that we don't have to see them everywhere. Josh Gad. I mean, have him build like a bridge or something, because I don't
honestly
need to read.
That's what the Green New Deal should mostly be for. The Green New Deal should be like, we're gonna do like solar panels on the freeway, and it's gonna be built by the entire cast of Ocean's 11, so that they don't have to work for like
it's
a
gonna
year.
Be, it's gonna keep Sean Penn from writing alliteration. It's gonna keep Alec Baldwin from having more kids, and it's gonna keep Josh Gad from weighing in on the legacy of Bill Cosby in his latest op-ed piece.
Imagine Jesse Eisenberg just like erasing all of the graffiti from a skate park instead of doing a movie where he plays the same character and over.
It seems like he'd rather be doing that, which is what makes me like him to some extent.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I love him, but hey, honestly, same guy over and over and over again. Yeah. Just the same guy.
Yeah, we don't need any more like Asperger's-y megalomaniac characters.
And there should, honestly, there should be like a law that makes it so that celebrities are not allowed to ever be have any press done about them unless they are currently pitching a movie or promoting a movie. Because I just saw some of the Jonah Hill interview. In whatever magazine that was.
GQ, I think.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, man, you know, I like you, but I every time you talk, I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
he caught so much. He's clearly still so insecure about being.
He's
like
the
young
most insecure
and like chubby on film, which I get. I would be too, but it's like you're an adult now. You're so rich and famous. Can't you just let it go?
Also, the way to
go to therapy. Don't go to GQ.
Please.
The way to cure your insecurity is not through a clean and rad and powerful vocabulary in which you try to talk like the rap people that you've heard. It's sad when you don't have public school friends to tell you to shut the fuck up about
totally totally, because is he like a New Roads kid, like a Santa Monica, he was either like Crossroads or New Roads, one of the like West LA private schools.
I just saw something yesterday. I didn't realize this. His dad was like the money manager for like Madonna or something.
Yeah, they're all fucking.
Yeah, his brother, who I think died, was Maroon 5's manager. I want to say.
I mean, listen, I understand that you guys have like dug in like ticks into the entertainment industry, and it's just
good for you.
That's fine, but like, I don't need to know that you're like vibing right now. Like I assume you're vibing, yeah, right. You know, shit's going good for you. It's so annoying. And also like, yeah, like I do feel like there's this, there's a whole bunch of kids of like high powered, like entertainment attorneys and stuff who like basically got jobs. I know that. And I love Jason Segel. Can I just say this? Mm-hmm. I love him. I think I really liked that movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And I think there was another movie I liked him in. And I love Freaks and Geeks. But like my mom was a librarian at this law firm where she like, you know, was the manager of the library.
Now we know how you got this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And my mom said that, have you ever heard of this Jason Segel? And I was like, yeah, he's like a big famous guy. He's like, oh, well, his father is our partner, you know, is the partner of the firm and is the biggest entertainment lawyer and whatever the fuck. And I was just like, Mom, you think you could have just gone to fucking law school? Did you have to get a master's in library sciences? You couldn't have fucking just learned. I mean, it's just so annoying for me that I have to podcast. Meanwhile, my mom is the one who should have put in the work. You know what I'm saying?
It seems like every day I learn about a new celebrity who I didn't know was either like a super wealthy person or a legacy. Like I just learned the other day that Jason Schwartzman is a Coppola. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't need to know that, but I found that out the other day and I was like, great, there's another one.
It's one of the reasons I don't enjoy Wes Anderson movies is because, you know, even stop putting Jason Schwartzman in stuff. He's not good. All right, I'm sorry.
In Rushmore, and then that was.
I hated that movie.
Really?
That's one of the good Wes. Yeah, that's one of the good Wes Andersons.
You know, it was good. The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, but here's the thing about nepotism. I feel like if you're talented enough, no one will ever complain about it. Because like,
true.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Perfect.
Exactly. Example. Or fucking Nick Kroll. Like Nick Kroll's dad is like a literal billionaire whose job, who like runs a investigation for, like his dad is basically like the deep state from what it sounds like. And but you're like, okay, but Nick Kroll, like you hear him and it's like, okay, he's funny.
He's genuinely
so
funny.
I'm never gonna give him shit about that because whatever.
I know
he's doing like a better version of what you could do if you're part of that family, I guess.
Yeah, no, I wanted to hate him as soon as I heard that he was, you know, came from a billionaire family. I was like, fuck him. And then I watched him and listened to him and I was like, I mean, he's very funny. I can't hate him. Anyways, the point is my mom should have done more with her life than be a librarian to help me in my career. And my dad, honestly, fucking, what did you think being a fucking high school teacher was gonna get me something? Fuck you. Both my parents fucked me. All right, I'm sorry.
So yeah, celebrities shouldn't be able to do promo when they don't have a movie, but also recognizable celebrities should not be allowed to do voiceover gigs. That makes me mad.
Yeah.
Leave some of that work for the rest of us.
It ruined
please.
Animation because, you know, like my favorite thing, one of my favorite things in the world is like the old Looney Tunes. With Mel Blanc does all the voices because he's so goddamn good at it. And now like every time you get any animated thing, it's just, well, we picked the 20 biggest celebrities that we could find to just do the voices.
Right.
And it's like, so okay.
Timothy Chalamet doing Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
Like,
who
why?
Gives a fuck? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, let's move to a voicemail real quick. I know we have a fuck ton of voicemails. So,
oh, we sure do, Matt. We sure do. I did not vet these, for their Patreon donor status. You know, I picked some good ones, hopefully.
All right.
Hey, Matt and Vince. This is Scotty Grab 'em by the Pussy Grable, I believe was shout out name I was given, now husband of Bridget the Zit Boyle. So I was glad that our titles bestowed by you, we were still able to get married. And
I mean, Bridget the Zit Boyle, that's a pretty good.
It's not bad.
That's a pretty good nickname. If I could toot my own horn for just a second.
No, yeah, no. The Zit Boyle is, top tier.
Bridget the Zit. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Right of them, but, you know, a person doesn't choose their own nickname. I just wanted to comment in on something you guys did in episode 503 on the backstory of Tony Sirico, probably the most rap-sheeted actor on The Sopranos. And I think one of the most interesting tidbits about him also was he made very clear to David Chase from the outset that his character could never become an informant or a rat, which apparently dates back to when he was an informant on Beretta in the 70s, and he couldn't face his son afterwards, which I feel like is also the thing that is most indicative of the real person in Pauly, which, despite that he would tattle the Johnny Sacks and had all his other shortcomings, as long as he's not a rat, then it's all good and he can carry on. I also just had a request, which is, I think, Matt, you talked some time back about making YouTube clips of your many songs and mashups, which I would definitely appreciate just in the ability to promote your podcast to other people, since sending people video files of Bread Pie or Snitches and Rats is a lot more salivating than having to send people entire podcasts with a timestamp on where to check out the songs or funny clips. So if there were ever video files on YouTube of the many songs you've done, I would really appreciate that to be able to spread the word of Pod Yourself a Gun to everyone.
Oh, man. I really want to do that. We do have the YouTube channel. It's a question of time. At some point, we will do that. And I know that, you know, Brent, I had you make a bunch of great edits and whatnot for just different episodes from I think last season or the season before, actually, and I just still have done nothing with them. There's no time, but yeah, you know, a lot of those are on Twitter, so you can check those out. Maybe your friends can open up
Go to the Pod Yourself a Gun Twitter and hit that media tab. You could probably find a lot of good clips on there.
But also, if you're, if any of you out there are interested in interning for no money, we'll gladly give you work to do. But back to his shit on Tony Sirico, that's fucking hilarious.
That is great.
That's very, very funny that he was, I couldn't face my family. After he fucking played a snitch on, what did he say, Beretta?
Yeah,
Beretta. Yeah. I also want to know how old his kid was. Like, was his kid like 10 years old and had zero concept of what he was watching, you know? And he's like, I can't even look at my son.
Yeah. And why's your kid watching Beretta? Also, like, Beretta was the one with the guy who killed his wife, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I love that he's like, that's the most embarrassing thing a cast member of Beretta has ever done, was play a character where they snitched. Not the one where he killed his wife. What was that guy's name again?
Robert
Evans?
No, Blake.
Yeah.
Robert Blake, yeah. No, Robert Evans is the producer.
And he killed his wife that he killed was Bonnie Bakley, which is weird because, you know, can you imagine
Blake
your name
and
being... Yeah,
Blake. Bonnie Blake Blakely.
Bakley Blake.
I think we've done this
Bonnie
before.
Bonnie Bakley Blake. That's weird. Yeah, probably.
I think I did the tag, Blake me a cake as fast as you can. Maybe we're done. Maybe as soon as you repeat a riff, it's over. Kill yourself. Anyways, that is a great voicemail. What's another voicemail? Let's keep the voicemail.
Oh, you want more voicemails over here?
Yeah, I'm enjoying.
Okay. All right. Let me find.
Hi, my name is Sydney. I'm a huge fan of the Pod Yourself a Gun podcast. I just started listening a couple weeks ago, and I am going in order. So I'm about to start the commendatory episode, season 2, episode 4. But I just wanted to say, I don't know if you guys have talked about this because I'm only like a little bit into the show, but I recently found out that the awful theme song to the show that doesn't fit with it at all. They chose that because they actually wanted a different song, different theme song for every opening credit. But HBO said that they could not do that because they needed some like continuity so people would actually want to watch the show and have like a song associated with the show. So they ended up just putting that song, that god awful song, as for the first episode, and HBO wouldn't let them change it, even though that they wanted to every single time. So I think that's just funny. They just kind of got stuck with the song, and now it's just like the Sopranos song.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't find any. I can't verify this independently, but
I love that. Though.
I like the story.
I love that. I hope that's real. I mean, that is, and it also, I think that makes a lot more sense than keeping like they. It does feel like a song they accidentally got stuck with, rather than one where they were like, no. I want every episode to open with having a blue moon in your eye, you know, like just based on the taste of like David Chase's like music choices in this. Like I see that as being like, you know, one of those weird songs that you hear randomly at the Bing and then it just kind of like moves on and whatnot.
Sure.
But the fact that it is the theme song consistently, that can only speak to the fact that they were stuck with it.
If that's true, that's a wow. The Alabama 3 benefited so much.
I know.
Thing. We would have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
But have I told you guys that I unironically liked that song a lot in like 10th grade? I had never seen The Sopranos, and I like made a mix CD that had it, and I would just like, you know, ride around in my brother's car listening to that song and being like, yeah, dude, a blue moon in my eye.
Hate when I have a blue moon in my eye. You know,
shame about it.
I also
shame about it.
No shame about it. I also can't fault, if that is true, which I don't know if it is, whatever. I really can't fault HBO for that decision. That just seems like the kind of idea that a studio exists to be like, no, dude, we have to have a consistent theme song, you fucking weirdo. We're not going to have a different song every episode. It's the worst idea ever.
I mean, it's to me, that's a situation in which, like, studio notes, you're like, it is, you know, sometimes you need notes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, sometimes you need someone telling you that your art is stupid. Yeah. And, you know.
But I feel like they do that now. Like, I've been rewatching Girls, and I think Girls has a different song every time.
Really?
Title card, it's always a different.
But it's
song,
isn't it just it's just a slate card though, right? It's a title card.
Yeah, so it's not. Yeah, you're right.
So it doesn't need to. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of shows that just have the title card, and so they can kind of do the. There's no theme song. There's just like whatever song is playing just gets bumped up, and then. Mm-hmm. Insecure.
David Chase probably promised Little Steven that he would have. like a different B-side from one of Lil Steven's side projects in every episode to get him to be on the show, and that was part of the deal.
It had to be. I think that is I mean, you know, it's because they do have his music in the fucking series, like so much of it that you're just like, all right, you know, this feels like it was in his rider. You know what I mean? Like his contract explicitly said there needs to be 3 episodes where someone is stripping to a song that Bruce Springsteen didn't want to do.
Maybe David Chase wanted to do a different song every time. Lil Stevie found out about it and was like, so we can use my song. So he was like, actually, HBO said we have to use this song. Yeah. It's out of my hands.
Yeah.
It's out of my hands, dude.
Yeah. By the way,
I'm so sorry.
Playing Furio is better than anything that Lil Steven ever did musically. That's just my opinion. Greater achievement as the actor from Furio than any of his musical career.
Wait, what do you mean?
Lil Steven, like he's a better actor as Furio.
No, he played Sil.
Sorry, that's what I meant. Silvio. One of the
one of those characters.
One of the EOs. Little Steven as Silvio, better than any of the songs he ever wrote.
Definitely better than his solo stuff from what I've heard, but like Now that I'm thinking about it, what a career this man has had. Like, being, like, I don't know, I like Bruce Springsteen. I think being in the E Street Band is a pretty big deal. So to be,
yeah, sure,
not the main focus, but like a pretty integral part of both The Sopranos and Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, exactly.
Tip of the old cap.
I don't know, man. I've always kind of hated Springsteen. That's kind of an East Coast people. I don't know. Like, he has a couple good songs that I appreciate, but goddamn, he's so fucking corny. And and everybody takes him so seriously that like I can't.
I will admit,
yeah, definitely. I don't need to hear his poems. I don't for sure. Hey, don't need to hear his podcast.
Hey man, you just gotta buy a Jeep because you know if if nobody wins, if I don't win, nobody wins or whatever the fuck is quoted. I don't know. He's just such a fake bitch. I don't like him.
Jesus, I mean my only
he's
thing.
A, he's
with
a
him is,
shitty Joe Strummer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's harsh, but, you know, it's your opinion and you're allowed to have it. I will say that recently I found out about this police murder that happened in the 90s of this guy. It was like pre-Eric Garner, right? It was this dude who got shot 41 times for like burning CDs and selling them. It was a, you know, unarmed black man got killed basically, right?
And it turned out to be Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, it turned out to be Bruce Springsteen in disguise. No.
He's like, you're going to go meet the ghost of Tom Joad.
Yeah. No, it was... So Bruce Springsteen actually wrote a song about it called 41 Shots. Mm. And I was like, oh, man, I need to hear that. That's crazy, you know? So I listened to it, and it is god-awful. It is one of... It's like, you know, just... the song is... very on the nose. It's just like 41 times they shot him, 41 times. And then at one point he's like, oh, he's been nice to the cops, and he's like yeah, and he's like, just be polite, never run. And it was just, you know, like it was
pull
like
up
a dad
your pants.
Yeah, pull up your pants, that's not music, old music is real music, you know.
Just oh, like, that sucks. I didn't know that.
I mean, that was the thing. It was, I think at the time, you know, it was, I mean, it was a big deal. It's just looking back on it, I think after enough police shootings in the public consciousness, someone singing a song, which is like, always be nice to the cops because you never know. It's like maybe sage advice, but it's also very tone deaf.
Right. Yeah.
And so very victim blamey. But it was.
Yeah. It's advice that you give to your kid, but not like the audience of your song. Probably.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You don't give that advice out loud to the world because it sounds a lot like pull up your pants. Like, that's the thing. It's if you say pull up your pants to your kid, you're well within your rights. If you go on TV and you just are like, these blacks need to pull their pants up, do better in school, it's like, fuck, dude. Like, that is that you're making a statement about yourself. I think that's how it works. Anyways, Bruce Springsteen, I still think, you know, solid B plus.
To everyone in Jersey, I apologize. He's great. I was just kidding. I was really just kidding.
You're gonna get some angry voicemails.
Yeah, you just lost us all of our Jersey listeners. Hey, Brent, why don't you read us an email?
Sure,
from,
okay.
Yeah.
I had a couple picked out, and this actually does kind of dovetail nicely. This is from, I'm sorry if I pronounced this wrong, from Dignan, D-I-G-N-A-N, which I don't know, it might be one of those Gaelic names, and really it's like Dinan or something.
Isn't
or
Dignan like the name
Davin
of Mark Wahlberg's character in The Departed?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Is it? It's been a while.
So it's probably Irish or some shit.
All right, well then. All right, Dignan. What will you guys launch next when you've depleted the Sopranos episode supply?
We don't know. It's $1 million question.
$100 million question, dude. Mm-hmm. That is the one. I mean, I think we've all like talked about the fact that when this is over, we're just going to fucking kill ourselves.
That's right, yeah.
planet kills us first.
Yeah, the planet might kill us first if we're, you know, lucky. But if we're unlucky, we'll have to off ourselves. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think the Wire is the obvious choice, right? Mm-hmm. And then like, or like Breaking Bad.
I don't want to do Breaking Bad.
You said you don't want to do Breaking
Bad? Not really. I like Better Call Saul better than Breaking Bad. I don't know. The Breaking Bad had the writer strike season, And, you know, I, like towards the end of Breaking Bad, I thought it was really good, but there are some real fucking try hard cringers in that catalog, I will say.
I'll tell you,
afraid to rewatch it because I loved it, but I, thinking back on some of it, I'm like, there's no way that was as good as I remember it. But I rewatched the pilot not that long ago and I did think it was great. So I don't know, maybe.
I just did a light rewatch of all of Breaking Bad. Not every single episode. I skipped, you know, a couple here and there, but I just did a rewatch of it. And Vince, you're 100% right. Just in terms of like, it really is like the last two seasons where you're like, oh, this is very good. The first three or so are, it's not that they're like super, they're not particularly terrible or anything like that, but it is a lot of like, how's MacGyver going to get out of the situation using science? And which is like fine or whatever. But the biggest issue that I had in kind of rewatching it was it is fucking montage heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot of montages. There's a lot of like try hard montages.
A lot
you
of
know.
Try hard perspective where you're just like the shot starts focusing on a fly and you follow the fly for like 90 seconds and you're like, okay, guys, we get it.
Black
you're prestige-y.
Yeah,
in a pool. Yeah, that's the one I think of where I'm like, that's probably one I should just leave in the memory.
I mean, basically, like, there's two ways to go with this, which is like to do a show that's like, you know, that is legitimately great. Which for me, those are like The Wire, obviously, 6 Feet Under. I'm a huge fan of basically any of David Simon's shows. The Nick, I love. Or you could go, you know, the other way to revisit one that feels more like a cultural time capsule. I feel like The OC is very interesting in that way, which like is like the first season and a half or so is legitimately like great soap opera television.
Right.
And there's some like, that are more like that, or like, you know, Entourage, which is a show that I kind of hate, but it is. There's already Entourage shows out there, but it is a great time capsule.
That is true. I mean, we would be stepping on previous guest Nando Vila's toes.
That's right.
You know,
if you started, it's the only Entourage podcast.
That's a very good point. I never considered that.
Can I suggest a third option?
Yes, please.
Lilyhammer. Just follow little Stevie around. Yeah. Has anyone seen Lilyhammer?
I think I watched like 10 minutes of it and I don't have like a strong opinion on it, but I just sort of stopped watching it and forgot that I'd started it. So I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't seen it at all. I've been interested in it, but it's just one of those shows where I haven't heard enough, oh, you should definitely watch this. One way or another. Like if someone says you should definitely watch it, it's a really good show, or you should definitely watch it, it is fucking like madness. Just totally ridiculous, totally stupid. You'd love it. Like I've heard no strong opinions about it, so I haven't started it.
I feel like just the landscape of television now, like when, you know, even like 7 or 8 years ago when premium cable networks put out a show, like they had expectations behind it. Like they wouldn't put out a show without, you know, expecting it to be the next Sopranos on some level.
Yes.
And then, you know, as soon as all the streamers got into the mix, now it feels like everyone's kind of just throwing shit at the wall. So you get a lot of these things that like have the feel and self-indulgence of prestige TV, but none of the content. And you're like, well, I'm not going to watch.
No, it's all they do is they just, everyone thinks that what makes a prestige TV thing is when you have like a happy song over a violence scene.
Yeah.
They're just like, damn, dude, this is deep. And it's like that. No, this is just, it's hackneyed at this point. It's just the same fucking, it's the same montage over and over again. Guy getting beat and then, you know, fucking
someone is singing
the wheels on the bus goes round and round.
The Apple TV approach to prestige is just like, we're just going to make this look as expensive as possible.
Yeah.
You'll get the most famous actors you've ever seen, beautiful, huge sets. And then, you know, somebody will write words for them to say at some point, but, like, you know, we'll figure that out later.
Sure. I will say the one thing that Apple TV is, Apple Plus or whatever the fuck is good at, is I feel like they're the only ones on the earth doing good sound mixes anymore. Like, you can actually hear clear dialogue mixes in all their shows. And, like, that is completely not true for anybody else right now.
No, including Breaking Bad. Like, Breaking Bad, I just in this rewatch, I was just like, I mean... I appreciate the actors doing subtlety in dialogue, but you really need the subtitles to hear it. Because, like, just the sound mix is just fucking awful. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'll tell you, Breaking Bad, like, rewatching that kind of fucked me up a little bit, because I was just like, this was just, I remember it being so good. And I think it's because it's not a good binge show. I think it's a good show to watch week by week, especially if you haven't seen it. But as a binge show, it just turns into the, like Walt becomes a much more infuriating anti-hero. You're just like, I fucking hate this guy over and over and over again. And in that way, it's kind of brilliant. But anyways, so who knows? I think we'll be, you know, polling the audience to see what they like. And we'll figure it out. Or, you know, we'll just kill ourselves. One or the other. Summertime and the living is thirsty again. Once again, I've done that joke. And once again, it's a great joke.
Very funny, Matt.
Thank you.
But you're right. It is summer. And during the summer, I love to keep Fiji water on hand to keep my family and me hydrated and refreshed.
Here's the thing about Fiji water. It really is from the islands of Fiji.
You're a liar.
No, I swear to God, it actually is. Drop by drop, Fiji water collects in a sustainable, ancient, artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. But I'm always wondering, Vince, how does Fiji water taste so good?
That's such a good question. And the answer is that as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji water its signature soft, smooth taste. You know, yesterday I happened to take my son to California's largest water park, and you know, it's hot out, the sun's beating down, you're carrying a toddler around, you get thirsty.
Sure do.
And you know what I did?
What?
I reached a meaty paw out for that natural artesian spring water that comes only from Fiji.
That's right. That's right. And listen, I enjoy Fiji water on a hot day. I enjoy Fiji water on a cold day. I enjoy Fiji water on a medium day. Just basically whenever I'm thirsty, I reach for a nice bottle of Fiji water.
I know your mouth gets dry when you're trying to do those royalty freestyles sometimes.
It does. It does. I have a very dry mouth. People have commented on that. And I like to wet it with the Fiji water. And here's the thing, Vince. Unlike some other premium bottled water, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring.
That's like the best kind of electrolytes. And this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7. Fiji water really is Earth's finest water. And since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic. So you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water.
Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up today for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office.
It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
Brent, you got another email?
Sure, I got another email. This one is from Elizabeth Marino, who says, "Stop using auto-tune."
Oh, I missed that one. I love that.
She continues, "The Bada Bee stories are my favorite. I was even hoping you would release a bonus episode at the end with a compilation of all of them together. That is a running theme. People love the Bada Bee stories and they want them all in one place."
Yeah.
They get stuck in my head, and sometimes I like to re-listen just for fun. But the auto-tune is ruining it. It's hard to understand, and it just sounds like weird Middle Eastern music. Please stop.
How dare you.
Weird Middle Eastern music is... it's like, I want to pretend like
she's canceled.
I don't know what she's... Like, she's canceled. I don't know what she's talking about, but I know exactly what she's talking about. Yeah. Well, thank you, Elizabeth. Here's the thing. I'm trying my hardest to make the auto-tune less noticeable. But, you know, I've also done a few this season with no auto-tune, like the Law & Order one. You're definitely going to you're not going to like next week's episode, but, there future ones you will like more. So,
freaking Bro Burnham over here.
Hey, what? All right.
I don't know.
So
that's you. Cause anyways, you do song parodies.
I know, but why bro? You know, cause he's already,
that's what you are.
All right, fine. Fair enough. Dude.
Just accept it. God damn it.
I accept. Honestly, though, thank you. I'm glad. And there will be a collection of all of them that will be available eventually. I'm just not sure if we're going to release that. And that might be like a when the series is over type thing. I don't know. Or maybe it'll just like they're all in the best ofs. I guess I don't play the full thing. We'll figure it out. The point is they will all be in a collection out at some point soon. Just a quick email from a donor, Patreon donor, Andrew City. Cause we gotta, you know, we gotta let these patrons know that we fucking love them. Hey, Frot Boys and possibly Frot Girls. I have a question for Matt. Since you like to eat that butt, if someone calls you a butt munch, would you consider it a compliment or an insult? That is it's a great question. I consider it a compliment. All right, moving on. And this is from Old Dusty. Dustin French. He is a donor. Hey, fellas. I was just loving the episode with Noel Brown and remember one of you mentioning that amazing song by that amazing band Nickelback. There's a guy on YouTube who makes some of the best mashups I've ever heard, including this Toe Tap and Diddy. Now, I may be wrong here, but this kind of stuff seems right up your alley and something that Matt might create with a sound editor. Love both of the podcasts. So there is a link here. So this is an email that was sent before I did my own version of Nickelback song. Mm-hmm. He sent this link and I just played it. And you guys, it's really, really good. I like your pants around your feet. I like your pants around your feet.
DJ Cumberbund.
I like your pants around your feet. I like your pants around your feet. I like your pants around your feet. I like your feet around your pants. I like your feet around your pants.
That's pretty good.
I like your pants around your pants. I like your feet around your feet.
This goes on for 3 more minutes.
No, we don't need the 3 minutes.
Although I will say, it reminded me of this guy's bit where it's Jack and Diane, but the mm-hmm. only lyrics are sucking on a chili dog.
Yeah.
Sucking on a chili dog, sucking on a chili dog, sucking on a chili dog, sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog, sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog, sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a dog, sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. sucking on a doll, sucking on a chili doll, sucking on. Sucking on chili doll, sucking on a dog, sucking on a chili doll, sucking on chili, sucking on a dog.
All right.
Yeah, all right. I love it. That was Tom C. McGovern, I think, on Instagram. I really enjoyed it.
That's very, very good. I was actually wondering where that there was a recent kind of like explosion of sucking on a chili dog memes. And I was wondering, like, why does everyone keep saying sucking on a chili dog? And now I know why.
I guess he says that in the song at some point, but barely.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Song?
That was DJ Cummerbund.
DJ Cummerbund. Okay.
Yeah. Who is on, you can find him on YouTube. The song is called Pants Feet, and it truly is right up my alley. That is fucking incredible.
Please leave a comment saying that Pod Yourself a Gun sent you to that YouTube link if you watch it. I would just like to see how many comments we end up with under there.
Yes, exactly. Please do that, because, man, I fucking love engagement. Okay. Yeah. Vince, what about another voicemail, please?
Oh, yeah, sure, Matt. Sure. We got a couple of voicemails that are good. One of the voicemails that I'm definitely not killing time in order to find is this one.
Oh, man. I love Pod Yourself a Gun. I have so much to say, but I know this needs to be short. My wife and I fell in love while watching this series. She didn't finish it. I did. Slacker.
Sounds like your love life, am I right?
You don't make your wife come!
Just,
sorry. All
right.
And I have to say, I have always hated A.J. Soprano. And I thought he was a terrible actor. Until I listened to your podcast, I've repented of my ways. I realized I just wasn't in on the nuance that is A.J. Soprano. Also,
right.
I forget which one of you writes all the songs and spoofs where you splice in just different songs and stuff.
It's Matt. He loves them. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that is...
Well, what's the end of that? What's the end of what he's about to say?
Oh, okay.
I laugh 100% of the time in every single one of those. Thanks for the podcast. I am loving it.
Yeah, we're just like
McDonald's.
Sorry,
I knew validation was coming, and I was like, I don't know what you're doing, pausing it right here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I actually just wanted you to sweat through it, because I knew you needed that, and you were going to...
Yeah, no, that was killing me, dude.
That I played it.
You're leaving me edging over here. I'm trying to come, bitch.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when you watch something when you're younger or like a little more immature in your media viewing, there's the tendency to just dislike actors who play unlikable characters. But
totally.
I don't know. AJ's, I don't know. I think Robert Eiler is like pretty perfect as AJ.
Yeah, I mean, I like, it's hard to know what's acting and what's not, but I feel like that is, I don't know, that tracks when it comes to like mafia pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
at
a certain point, I don't care.
It's kind of like, yeah. I stopped caring whether things are like intentionally funny or unintentionally funny at this point.
Right,
as well.
Right.
It's like, if I'm laughing, good
exactly.
job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when it comes to, you know, I think a lot of characters, not just Robert Eiler, but like, you know, fucking, you know, Tony Sirico, you know, it's like these people are not necessarily stretching in terms of like their acting ability, right? You know, this is like it's not hard for Tony Sirico to play a tough guy. That's not to impugn the fact that he's like really fucking good at it. I mean, he's great. But it's like, you know, same thing with Robert Eiler. I don't think he was necessarily that much different than A.J. Soprano. I mean, he's not, you know, obviously the son of a mobster and stuff like that, but in terms of like loving Slipknot and being a little new metal kid and kind of being a little shit to his parents and stuff like that, I mean, he was a child actor, so he probably kind of was that.
He also, I think he started to bring more nuance, like especially this season we've been watching. Like, you can see him, you can see the character gaining some levels.
And
he's pulling it off, I think.
But also,
I think he's doing a great job.
Like, if you're being yourself even if that's whether or not that's like different from acting, like you're, if you're still doing that, like on command,
right,
saying other people's words, being yourself, like then you're doing a good job of act. Like that is right, a yeah, type of acting.
Just
that
watch,
means he was yeah, like well cast.
Watch Dennis Rodman attempt to play himself or use his own persona in literally right, anything, and you can understand how hard that is. Which it would mm-hmm, be just as hard for me, I'm sure, or like you yeah, know, anyone who's not like a trained actor. It's
oh,
hard,
Vince. I cannot imagine you, like I can imagine you trying to act and it's making
it's
me laugh.
It's real bad. Oh, yeah.
You're yeah, just, oh man, that'd be funny. Like you forget whenever there's like a camera on you, you forget like to emote with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing where you just get like really like straight eyed and it's frightening.
I turn and off the self view on the Zoom.
I know, because you don't want to look at yourself, and it's. I can only imagine just you trying to act. Man, that'd be fun. We need to do a movie.
Mm-hmm, let's do it.
And I like write you like a really dramatic part, and I just want to see that because uh-huh, oh fuck, it would be great. But yeah, yeah no,
I thought about like doing like an acting class or an improv when I was doing more stand up, because I'm sure yeah, it would have helped me be better mm-hmm, at comedy. But just the thought of it, I couldn't ever get over the hump.
Well, the thing about with you doing stand up, it was great because it was you yourself being you, and so it wasn't like, man, this guy's not good at acting like himself doing stand-up. Like no one can tell, it's just who you are on stage. But just you trying to play anyone else reading someone else's lines without getting frustrated, I can't imagine it. You're the most frustrated man who's ever lived, and just imagining you someone like telling you what to do, that oh, that gives me joy. Let's do another voicemail. I'm enjoying the voicemails.
Sure. This one, there's a question in this one. I can't remember if we've answered something like this or not, so I'm just going to play it.
Hey, Vince. Hey, Matt. $8 a month donor, Ryan. Love the show. Solid B+. I was in middle school in northern New Jersey when The Sopranos debuted, so... it's great to kind of rewatch the show. My question really, though, is what is your guys' favorite parody of Hollywood agents and the business side? And why is it when little Pauly and Benny smack Chris's sponsor in the face with his own MacBook? All right. Solid B+. Run on.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we love that episode. I love the Jon Favreau episode.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of other like movies or shows that have done really good like parodies of agents and Hollywood people. The one that I thought of was, I think it's called Art School Confidential, by the same director as Bad Santa.
And okay.
Yeah,
Terry Zwigoff.
Terry Zwigoff. Yeah, and his like that movie. It does not end well, but like the first at least half or three quarters of the movie are really good, and it's all about these art school kids. I think the player, the Robert Altman movie. I haven't seen that in a long time, but everybody says that's a really good one too. But I haven't seen it in a long time.
I thought on Louis C.K.'s show Louis. He had some pretty good, like, I think it was his agent was like a literal 13-year-old kid. And I mean, you know, obviously it's absurdist, but that mm-hmm. to me was pretty funny. I mean, especially considering that literally, yes, all of the people who control, you know, your destiny in Hollywood are all younger than you usually.
Yeah.
You know, that is...
Am I confusing that with 30 Rock, or do they have a similar bit? I think it's not a 13-year-old. It's Josh Fadem specifically who like looks young, and they have him
right.
playing pretty young and wearing a giant suit.
Yeah. They did that in 30 Rock too.
Yeah, another obviously Ron Livingston playing Charlie Kaufman's agent in Adaptation. Really solid. And Matthew McConaughey as the Pecker in Tropic Thunder, I thought was also really excellent. I like that one because, like, the take there is that he just wants to be best friends with, like, a star. And that seems to check out.
Yeah, that does make sense. And it is true. What was the second half of the question?
He says, what is the best parody of Hollywood Agents, and why is it when Polly and Benny smack Chris's sponsor in the face with a MacBook?
Yeah, well, I mean, that too.
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything else. I'll say this, though. Am I the only one who didn't think that the Tom Cruise cameo in Tropic Thunder was good?
I hate it.
It was like, it
I
just
like the
felt...
way it's written, but then watching Tom Cruise like try to be self-aware and fun. Like, Tom Cruise is too intense to be that good at comedy for me.
Yeah.
He's just not a funny person. He's trying. He's like really trying to be funny. And it's I mean, overall, like I love the movie. It doesn't like.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't hurt the movie in any way.
Yeah, I think it was. You know, when I first saw it, like, it just seemed funny that Tom Cruise was doing this. But yeah, now with that a little more perspective, it's like, yeah, you probably could have got like a funny actor to do this part.
Right, yeah. Like, the joke is that it's Tom Cruise, and you're like,
yes. Right, exactly. And once you kind of get over that joke, it is, it's not a really great performance. And it also, I don't know, it was like one of those things where I felt crazy because the audience was eating it up in the theater.
One of those Booksmart moments.
Totally. Yeah. I was just like, I don't think this is that good, you guys. Am I crazy?
Great movie in spite of that scene, I would say, though. All the other Hollywood parody stuff in that movie is pretty solid.
And I think most of his scenes also have Bill Hader in them, who is just going to elevate every scene he's in. Yeah. So I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah, we could maybe like in a few years we'll do this about Barry, because goddamn, that show is good. Yeah.
Or I was going to say, do The Leftovers.
Yeah, The Leftovers is really good also.
I fucking love The Leftovers, dude. It is so
And in terms so of, it might, like, the from the second season on, that theme song is like one of the best opening title sequences that I've ever seen. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's just fucking, it's amazing. It's so good. Oh, God damn it. I just like, you know, I just, shows like that, you just... Every time I think about Justin Theroux, I'm just like, fuck you, man.
Yeah. It's fucking I didn't realize
hot.
That.
He wrote Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, that's, like, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
I didn't realize that he was related to Paul Theroux, the travel writer who I love. And then I realized that all the fucking Theroux's are all related.
They're all related. They're all related. Like, he's an example to me of, like, not just like that, it's not even Hollywood nepotism, it's I don't know, intelligentsia nepotism.
Yeah,
it's
just like a family that's like good at stuff and smart.
Yeah it's I mean,
them all.
He's also related to Louis Theroux, right?
Yeah, the fucking, I think Louis is like Paul's son, I want to say.
It's just not, it's like not fair. You know what I mean?
So in that family, is Justin Theroux like the dumb one then?
I probably think so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's just TV. He wrote a movie with Tom Cruise in it. Great.
Oh, you're the one who wrote the racist character.
Yeah. Paul's brother is also like a novelist. He has two brothers that are both like, you know, fairly prominent writers. Like, all right, settle down, you guys.
Yeah,
honestly. And he's just so hot, my god. He's just like one of the hottest men.
The last time I was at my parents' house, my mom referred to him as yummy and I had to leave the room.
But then you look at him and you're like, I get it.
Yeah,
like,
I get it.
No, I get it. She's not wrong. She's literally not lying to you. Let me see, we do have another $5 donor who has a very long email.
Oh, good.
That I would like to read for us. This is from Jonathan Belland. I mean, it's B-E-L-A-N-D. How do you Belland?
Belland?
Like, oh, yeah. Like isn't
a,
Belland
like a British insult?
Yeah. Isn't that for like dicks?
Yeah,
isn't
that, like, it's your... a knob.
Oi, oh, nice Belland, Jono. I don't know. All right. Hey, Matt.
Miss Belen can't even make a bread pie.
Miss Belen never learned to write a pie before baking a pie. All right. Hey, Matt and Vince. Been catching up on broadcasts and just finished the episode from a few weeks ago where you guys are talking about stuff like Romeo plus Juliet and TV theme songs. First off, you made me want to go and watch Romeo plus Juliet. I'm about Vince's age, so I remember it being a huge thing in high school. I never saw it at the time, but then again, I did not know a weird chick to go see it with. Or rather, I knew plenty of weird chicks, but I had no luck getting them to see it with me. Been there, dude. All right. Also, the discussion of TV theme songs was great. Matt's rendition of a gritty, swampy, raspy theme song had me busting out laughing. I watched the True Blood opening on YouTube afterwards, and Matt's impression wasn't far off. Wait, is it True Blood? I've never actually seen True Blood, so I don't know what the opening of that is. True Detective is the one that has the Handsome Family song, which that's a theme song that I actually listened to. That's like on the playlist. You know what I mean? You know that one?
When the dusty mesa, a looming shadow grows.
I think when you were doing it, I thought you were doing a parody of like true crime. Theme song. I was trying to find the first season of Dr. Death because that is like a classically bad theme song.
Yeah, the Dr. Death theme song. It's just like. Yeah, these like very specific true crime theme songs are the ones that I think I was parodying, which is just like, fucking some rockabilly lady singing about how like her lover got stabbed and it was her who did it or something. bringing up the Rockford Files theme song remind me of other great late 70s and...
Sorry, I can't find it. Go ahead.
That's fine. And early mid 80s songs from the Glenn A. Larson and Donald P. Belisario era of TV. In particular, songs from Magnum P.I., The A-Team, Simon & Simon, Airwolf, and The Fall Guy come to mind. My personal favorite is Airwolf, but for the vocals, I'd recommend checking out The Fall Guy. Methinks Matt would like it. Thanks for keeping the frock going. You two are some of the best internet para friends a guy could ask for. What is that?
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a 9. So fine, I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV.
So I guess this show is just
about
Lee Majors and his conquests. That was like a little bit before my time, but yeah, that's an interesting one.
Was that Fall Guy?
Yeah, that's the Fall Guy.
Oh, Lord. Oh, man.
Did he say he only smooches 9s or something? What was that?
He's only been with 9s.
Yeah, okay.
Is he talking about like as opposed to 10s or is that a gun reference?
No, I think he only...
He only hooks up with dudes with 9-inch hogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like 9 inches and thin.
no one's ever like really like saying like, well, I want a thin dick, which is unfortunate because I feel like a lot of people got length but not girth, you know? Not me, but you know, that's fucking... Anyways, thank you, John B., for that. And also he wrote an entire lyric sheet for another parody song, and I'm not gonna read it, but it does contain lines like "too many dead bitches already lying around this bayou," which I think is pretty good. It also ends with "maybe I'll get help from my vampire friend." I should. Okay, so John B., I'm gonna need you to call in and sing your parody song because it sounds pretty good. The next is from Chris Miller, $8 donor. My wife's cousin got married over the summer. At the wedding, I found out my wife has an aunt that looks exactly like Phil Leotardo. No questions. I'll just hit send and listen. Cool.
Great. Great message. Love that.
I love it.
I am picturing Phil Leotardo in a dress at a wedding, and it's bringing it's me pretty joy. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Next time, please send a picture of your you know, Phil Leotardo. Yeah, of Mrs. Leotarda, yeah. Your aunt. There's also another email from someone who actually just sent a voicemail, Scott Grable.
That's Scotty Brent. Grabbing by the pussy.
That's Scotty yeah. Grabbing by the pussy. And he's the one whose wife is the Zit, right?
Yeah, Bridget the Zit Boyle.
Yeah. Brent, do you want to read this email?
Sure, I'll read this one. Scott says, hey, I just started following on IG. Thank you so much. And was happy to see the clips there to listen to from Pod Yourself. I can't remember if you mentioned that when telling people to follow you there, but people knowing they can find those clips would be great incentive. So if yes. you're listening and you didn't know that, yes, we do post clips from the show, both to the Twitter at Pod Yourself a Gun and to the Instagram at Pod Yourself a Gun. So if you're not following those, follow them.
Yeah.
And then Scott continues, on another note, on the recent Frotcast, you speculated as to which heroes were Jews. Well, on HBO, Lindelof made Dr. Manhattan a Jew, one who fled Nazi occupation as a child, as explained by Trent Reznor. And then there is...
we don't need to listen to... yeah.
Scott then asks, but I wanted to ask if you had a good term for that, retroactively canonizing the Jewification of characters.
I don't know. Yeah, a good term for it?
It's like retconning, yeah. But it's...
It's...
They're hold on.
Toraforming? It's like when you're when you're terraforming but with the
yeah,
Torah.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean
Schwitzkonning, that doesn't
Schwitzkonning, I like it. Yeah, there's another one there in somewhere. But I think we'll go with either Schwitzkonning or Torahforming. You don't see it too much. You don't see
Torahforming makes me laugh. So that's the one I feel like.
Yeah. I feel like you just, yeah, you don't see characters retroactively becoming Jews. You see that, I think, with other things like making Dumbledore gay and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like it would be really funny if it's like they made Dumbledore gay. And also, I feel like Dobby is Jew coded. Like people would be like, I think it would immediately be offensive matter what.
She do that with the bankers?
I mean, she definitely Jew-coded the bankers like crazy. There's like a scene where they're at the bank and there's just like a big Star of David in the middle of it. And I was just like, oh, that's not even subtle, dude. But you don't see too much of that. I feel like the...
What's his name from the X-Men? Was he always Jewish in the comic books? Was he always a Holocaust escapee?
That's actually a good question. I don't know. Yeah, maybe you do see it more. I
think that was always the case, right?
Was that always there? I don't know.
Which is funny because they are like overtly parables for like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Right.
But they decided, you know, sometimes like going Jew is the safe way to go. You know, they're like, because it's just the one everyone knows. It's the same reason why everyone is like, oh, every time someone discusses like a vaccine passport, there are people who you would assume are college educated being like, you know, anytime someone asks you to show some papers, it's a problem. And you're just like, please don't bring the Holocaust into this. Like, why, yeah. Why are you doing this? And they just, I think they do it because they can't think of another example where people show papers. Mm-hmm. So, and that is bad. So they, I don't know. I don't know the history of the X-Men comic books, but I thought that Magneto was always a Holocaust survivor. That was like
when I went to the Berlin Film Festival a few years back, I got the wrong type of ticket for like the public transit I was on. Like there's a different one for like the tram and like the underground, and they were checking tickets, and so I actually got asked to show my papers by the German police, and I was like, you know, this ticket cost me 60 euros, but kind of worth it.
It was worth it to have a German say, let me see your papers.
Yeah, and there was like a really nice lady nearby who was trying mm-hmm. to talk me out of it and being like, oh, he didn't know, he's just a dumb American. And I really appreciated
quiet
that.
Quiet lady.
Really, it really raised Germany up in my opinion of.
And there was no one on that German train who was like, "Well, we're making him show papers now. Does this
on a train?
Anything?"
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're gonna ride a train in Germany? Well, you know what that means. Oh man,
whoever that lady was, I really appreciated that. Thank you for that.
I wonder if there is like
my,
just like
my
we
Mrs.
have
Schindler.
Your Mrs. Schindler who saved you. I wonder if they have that like the same in Germany as we do in America of like, are there people just like Christian Germans who randomly will just be like, this is exactly like the Holocaust. Like they probably, I assume they don't. I assume they have some sense enough to be like, let's not, you know, say that me having to wear a helmet is like the Holocaust, you know?
Well, they had some sort of like legal way repercussions for maybe not anti-Semitism, but like for Nazi stuff, didn't they? So
I imagine that
if you have been raised there, that like you're pretty careful about stuff like that, but I could be wrong.
I mean, who knows now? Nowadays, yeah. Everyone's radicalized, so I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're, you know, if they're saying like, us not flying the Nazi flag is exactly what the Nazis did. Like I'm sure that happens now. Anyways. Okay, I think that counts as a pod, you guys. What do you guys think?
Definitely.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that's definitely the first take of that. Them being excited about more. So you can check out the rest of the mailbag episode on patreon.com/fraughtcast. Once again, please join the Patreon family. Help us out. Some of us are about to get kicked off of unemployment. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right, everybody. Fraughtcast@gmail.com. You already know we're doing the mailbag episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in part two of the mailbag on Patreon. So don't stop believing.
Mm. Do you want me to stop recording?
Don't stop. Fall into big savings. All in the Kroger app. Get juicy California red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.